Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Is it time to call in the PC police? We may close to detaching the word Easter from egg hunts as some schools and cities across the country take a crack at referring to them as, quote, spring egg hunts.
I'm devastated that Easter egg hunts are now being called egg hunts. The secular humanists are trying to abolish Christianity. Remove the Easter from the egg hunt, and we are one step closer to Sharia law. You do the math. It is time that we stand up for Jesus. All he ever wanted was for young children to collect plastic eggs filled with chocolate while being chased by a grown man in a bunny suit. Of course, our president, Barack Hussein Obama, is having an egg hunt at the White House. But those eggs are going to be hard to find because they are hidden with his birth certificate and the truth about Benghazi. So before you take away Easter, Mr. President, you're going to have to get through this angry scrapbooking mom and pry this glue gun out of my cold, dead hand. Oh, it's hot.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. To Mike, it's not just another banana peel, it's future dirt. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And happy Easter to those folks celebrating it. And sixth day of Passover for those folks honoring that. And happy sleeping on a kind of nice spring Sunday day to the rest of you who just don't want to do any of that stuff and would just like to sleep in and catch the show on the radio while you're deciding how to get out of bed. That's my kind of Sunday.
No way, man. Gotta enjoy it while you got it.
Well, you know, considering how few of these we have, this is one of those Sunday mornings. It's the sun's out and it's relatively warm. I mean, what's going on here? This is crazy. This is nutty.
Oh, I love it. I'm excited.
Are you?
Yes.
And by the way, it's Sarah Batka, who has not been here in a long time.
I know. I
thought you gave
you.
Up on us.
No way. I missed you, Mike. I'm glad March is over.
I'm glad you're here.
Me too. Thank you.
And I note, because I saw a post that you did on Twitter several days ago.
Marshall?
Yes. Our Marshall strawberries have survived the
Thank
winter.
Thank goodness.
Yay! You remember Leah Gauthier came in last year, and several of us got Marshall strawberries. I don't think Rob's made it. I think he just posted this morning that his did not make it, and I don't think Lisa's made it either.
So we're
the future here. This is it. The future of the Marshall strawberry depends on us, which is a really sad thing, if you ask me.
I'm confident they'll make it through.
In case you don't know, and you can actually look this up if you Google. Oh, I shouldn't say that word. If you search engine, see that's the problem, is we need a verb that replaces Google. You can't say if you otherwise it's if you search engine, and that's a noun. And we need a verb that replaces to Google.
Okay.
To, because if you say just to search, I guess you could just say that. If you, if but see, if you say Google, it implies computer as well. All right. If you say to search, it could be anything. It could be a book. It could be a magazine. It could be a computer. It could
who
be,
reads books these days?
I know. I'm so old school, huh? Hey, you know what's going on. You were here when
Blake Davis. IIT.
I always forget his last name. I don't know why. Blake Davis, and he's coming back.
Oh, really?
He's in May. Those of you who have been following this saga on this program about the end of the world, and I have to laugh because, you know, what else can you do with the idea of the end of the world? Except get really serious about it. You can cry or you can laugh. I'm going to laugh for now. But, of course, we had Guy McPherson on with his from his blog Nature Bats Last several weeks ago, and it really sobered a few people up. I got emails, messages from folks who said, wow, I'm so glad you did that, but wow, is that depressing. Well, Blake Davis is the one who started this a couple of years ago when he was on the show. He was ahead of that curve. Guy McPherson's been doing it for a while too, but Blake was the first person on this show to talk about that when he had the 50-year
plan for surviving climate change.
Right. And
he said to amass your library of printed materials.
And that's where I'm going with that. It's mm-hmm. books. So we're going back to old school. Grab the books that teach you how to garden, how to build stuff, how to create energy, all of that. And Blake said, start collecting the books, figure out who you want to live with. You know, it was interesting because I talked to Guy McPherson off the air. And he has retreated to this place he calls the Mud Hut. And it is, they're conserving energy as best they can. And they got in a group of people together that he thought were like-minded. And it turns out that not so much. And so he's having issues with the folks that he decided to, you know, hide away from the world or survive the world with. And then he realizes he doesn't like those people that much anymore. And that's a huge deal. If you're going to have the end of the world and you're going to run away with the people you trust, what happens if you don't like them in a year and a half? You're kind of stuck, aren't you? So you better choose wisely. That's the way that goes. But it's true. Yeah, that's probably the most important part. If you're going to get your little enclave, and Blake Davis said, remember he said groups of like 250 are going to be optimal? Something like that?
Yeah, I don't recall exactly.
Yeah. On a beautiful Sunday morning, welcome to the end of the world. It's the Mike Novak Show. Hey, how y'all doing? Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Oh, boy. Okay. Happy spring, which is finally here. And Rick DeMaio will talk about it. He's been sending me stuff this week. In fact, he sent something this morning about soil temperatures. Here's the soil temperatures at 4 inches depth under bare soil. Location, Chicago Botanic Gardens. Maximum 60 degrees, minimum 42.
Is this over like the week or what?
That's a good question. I'm going to have to ask him. I guess I assume it was just taken recently, maybe in the past couple of days. And then he said, and then here's one at 4 inch depth under sod, maximum 54 degrees, minimum 45. At the National Weather Service, Chicago, Romeoville, 4 inch soil temp. He says 8 a.m., so maybe it was this morning. 44 degrees, that's in Romeoville. So we're just getting to the point.
We're getting there.
Where things are warm. It has been so amazingly slow, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a long slog.
I mean,
I've
got photos on my website, if you go to MikeNovak.net, of my garden and things going on there. And I have some tulips blooming. I have daffodils. But I talked to other people who said, wow, you're way ahead of me. I'm trying to imagine, you know, and I figure they're closer to the lake because that cool air is blowing off the lake. And that's another thing that Rick and I kind of went back and forth on, and we'll discuss when he comes on the show at 9:45 this morning. And it is this article. This is the headline that was in the Huffington Post. Somebody sent to me, and I took a look at it. Here's the headline. The Great Lakes are still almost half frozen, and it could affect the environment for years.
Now, wow.
I know. Well, but that's the headline. Is it really what's going on? Is it really the story? We'll find out when Mr. DeMaio is here. Also on the show today, in the green room, I'm going to talk, it's me and Sarah. In fact, if you got garden questions, 773-763-9278, we'll actually attempt to answer them right away on Easter Sunday morning. 773-763-9278, because Carrie is here. Hi, Carrie. You going to say hi? Uh-oh, I surprised her there. Pop that mic on. Are you with me? Can you hear me?
Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
Okay, once again, somebody explain something to me. Why does that mic never work? Why is it never set to go?
I think we got it fixed.
Okay.
I think it's because there's like 60 buttons.
I don't. Denny, why is it that that mic, every time I go to somebody and go, hey, good morning, it's not turned on? I don't understand how that works.
Radio challenge, live radio, baby.
Okay, thanks, Dennis. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
All right.
Now, happy Easter.
It's a happy Easter to you. We'll take your phone call, 773-763-9278, in the green room today. I want to discuss a couple of things that are going on in terms of the cool weather. Sarah might have some plant sales coming up. And then there is this one of my favorite things is to get plant health care reports. I know I'm crazy, but from Illinois Extension, they have theirs. And then the Morton Arboretum has one, too. I'm one of those guys that actually reads those things. And we'll talk about that. Then a whole bunch of stuff, because this is Earth Week. Also forgot to say Happy Earth Week, everybody. Can you believe that? Hold on. There we go. Happy Earth Week, everybody, because it's a lot going on. And we're going to talk a lot about Earth Week, mostly in the second hour. First of all, next week, we are broadcasting live from the Green Metropolis Fair, which is at the Irish American Heritage Center. And I had some people write to me and say, you said American Heritage Center. It's Irish American Heritage Center. Sorry about that. Let's get that right. You know, sometimes you read these things fast. But we're broadcasting live from 9 to 11 a.m. at the fair, and there's all kinds of green stuff going on next. And that's all day long at the Irish American Heritage Center, Sunday, April 27th, all day. And we're going to talk to Mary Beth Rebido, who is the person who's putting it together. And she's going to talk about what's going on there and what you can expect to see. And we hope that everybody shows up. It's family friendly. Farm animals, composting, gardening stalls, retail market, food market, presentations on organic gardening, sustainable living, energy savings, composting, CSAs, and more.
The insect petting zoo.
That's right. I forgot.
We'll be there.
Are you going to be there?
Oh, I don't know.
If you've never seen the insect petting zoo, that is a sight to behold.
Yeah. New this year, we've got cockroach races.
Cockroach. And are they the Madagascar cockroaches?
Yeah, the Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Hissing cockroaches. And they're huge. They're like the size of
a good 2 inches.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to see one of those.
My favorite are the millipedes.
Yes, they're cute.
They are. Where are the millipedes from? Do you remember?
Giant African millipedes.
Yeah. And they're like the size. They're like the size of your breakfast table, okay? And you let them crawl around on your arm, and some people freak out, but it's pretty cool because they're actually feels kind of nifty.
Yeah, I love them.
So the petting zoo is going to be there too, the insect petting zoo. Kids of all ages will love it. So we'll talk about that. But then there's also
something going on during the week. Well, also, Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force is going to be here right at the top of the 10 o'clock hour because the Petco thing never goes away in Chicago on the south side. It just never goes away. And we're going to talk about the machinations of our beloved city council and how one day they say, yeah, we're going to fix this. And then the next day they go, maybe not so much. And then the next day they say, well, yeah, I guess we better get back to that. Gotta love the city council. Those guys are wacky dudes and dudettes. And then, of course, there is the, and I'm happy to see they tweeted, Global Convergence. This is something that is starting this Tuesday, which is the official Earth Day, and going on through May Day. And the Global Convergence is doing, there's a Chicago version, there's versions all over the country. The slogan is People, Planet, and Peace Over Profit. It's an education and direct action campaign. And they're starting with 10 days to change course, running from Earth Day to May Day. And I have a lot of that information up on my website, mikenovak.net/thisweek. Or if you go to the homepage, just go to This Week's Show, and you will see that, including an Earth Day March on Tuesday, starting at the Thompson Center, a presentation that is put on by Frac Free Illinois, Southeast Environmental Task Force, and Tar Sands Free Midwest, Midwest, among other groups. It's called Setting the World on Fire, the lawsuit against Koch Industries and BP, the environment and money in politics. That's on the 23rd. There is the council hearing, zoning committee hearing on Thursday for the Petcoke. There's People, Planet, and Peace Over Profit, Fighting for a Future Without Climate Change at the UIC Student Center on the 24th. So it goes on and on and on. And we will talk about that. And so in honor of that, today, I am going to be talking, and I'm looking for it here, and of course I can't find it. Oh, Carson Starkey, who is a field director of the Illinois Fair Trade Coalition, also about the TPP, which is all a big part of Earth Week as well, investigating the TPP and why, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Is it good? Is it bad? Well, most people think it's bad. And we're going to talk about that and what action you can take, because there's a number of hearings, educational events actually coming up in Joliet, Chicago, Flossmoor, South Halsted in Chicago, Naperville, Aurora, other areas. And we will talk about that with Carson Starkey from the Illinois Fair Trade Coalition. Lots to do on the show this week, so we'd better have at it right now.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
If you've ever filed a lawsuit, you know that it can be stressful, even traumatic. And if you've been exposed to asbestos, silica dust, or other lung toxins, you're going to need a law firm that can guide you through the legal maze efficiently and effectively. The attorneys of Penn Rakowski are exactly who you're looking for. They view each client and their needs as unique. They're focused on one thing and one thing only, lung disease. And they're based right here in Illinois and Wisconsin. The lawyers at Penn Rakowski have been representing individuals suffering from lung disease and their families for a combined 35 years. And because they're local, they can come to you. They've successfully represented asbestos workers, electricians, carpenters, machinists, and others throughout both states. Contact Penn Rakowski at dustlaw.com or call them toll-free at 888-LUNG-LAW. That's 888-LUNG-LAW. Penn Rakowski, local, committed, caring.
If you're thinking about having a beautiful landscape, but you want to be kind to the environment during this Earth Week, you need to try Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. For more than 85 years, Milorganite has been practicing sustainability using natural organic material that is not based on the petroleum industry. Its slow release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding, and it's safe for your children and pets. In fact, Milorganite is the nation's oldest recycler, focusing on reduction of consumption, waste, and emissions. And it works. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
And here we are in the garden center, the garden room, the green room, whatever.
Your own segment, Mike.
I know it.
The green room.
Thank you.
We've got Earl calling
in. I know, and that's where we're going to go right now.
It's a tree question.
I know. It's good to hear from Earl. Good morning, and happy Easter to you.
And same to you, buddy, and to your little hostess.
My little hostess?
Hi, Earl. Good morning.
Yeah, she's a cupcake.
Good
okay.
To you, too. A couple of quick questions. I don't know how much time you give me, so I'm just going to rattle off a few, and I'll call in next week or the week after and ask you some more.
Okay.
I know you don't want me to walk around on my garden this time of year and compact my soil.
Well, no. But wait, I'll tell you what, Earl. One of the things I think that Rick DeMaio is going to bring up is how dry it's been. And Sarah, perhaps you know you can help me with this as well. I've been walking around in my backyard on the lawn. It's handling it pretty well, and I think it's partly because we have not had a lot of rain. We've gotten past the point where it's just muck after the cold winter and the snowpack. And I think we're at the time where you can actually get out there and start working.
How do you know?
I think it's you guess.
Very scientific.
It is. It's well, you know, it is scientific. There is, but you look at you kind of look at how the ground behaves, and right now, it's a little dry. We're actually a little dry, and Mr. DeMaio will be pointing that out in just a little bit.
And the reason that leads into my next question is I'm getting ready to till fertilizer into my area where I grow tomatoes, and okay. I use natural. Products, you know, for fertilization.
What do you use there, Earl?
Well, I go to one of the big box things and it says, you know, natural fertilizer.
All right, now.
But I tell you what, I do augment it with fish meal. You know,
well, that's good. Great.
No, I do augment it with that. So I do, I spread them both down, put the fish meal down, and then I till it.
All right.
Okay, and then my question was, how often should I feed the plants then, you know, after the, you know, and when should I start feeding them? I haven't bought the plants yet, but, you know.
No, and you're way too early for tomato plants, okay?
Right.
Don't even consider that. And in terms of feeding the plants, well, you know, basically what you're doing now is just soil prep. So you're not actually feeding plants unless you're growing something else. Are you growing something besides tomatoes or just an area for your tomatoes?
Well, I didn't know what else to grow with tomatoes. I didn't know what grows well with tomatoes since I've heard that tomatoes are such hungry plants, you know. And I didn't want to, since they require more food, I didn't want to put something next to them that would burn out.
Uh-huh. Well, I can hear... Sarah right now going to the computer, and so am I, because the first thing we type in is companion plants to grow alongside your tomatoes, right?
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah.
Let's see here. Carrots love tomatoes. And that's the name of a book, actually. One thing you can have. But you do have to be careful about the kinds of plants that you put near tomatoes, because it's not just that they're heavy feeders, and they are heavy feeders, but it's also that they don't get along with certain plants.
So I'm looking, and Mr. Brown Thumb recommends borage.
And the bees love the borage, so that'll definitely increase your pollination rate. So it says borage, chives, marigolds, nasturtium, basil, calendula, carrots. Yep, Mike. Peppers, sage, onions, garlic, and leaf lettuce.
So you've got a few things, and you could actually get some of that started early and then bring in your tomatoes later. And then as we make the transition into warmer weather, you grow the tomato and then get rid of the cool season leafy vegetables.
Gotcha.
You might, at this time of the year, the cool season vegetables are things like lettuces, spinach. Now, I don't know if spinach is not on that list of companion plants for tomatoes.
It wasn't.
Yeah. But, I mean, those are the kinds of kale you can grow in cool weather. They're different kinds of things you can grow in the cool weather, and you can direct sow into your ground now.
Hmm. So, we've also been discussing hummingbirds over the years. And last year, I noticed I was late when I put out my feeders because the hummingbirds were already moving through. And so I was wondering, do you have an idea when I should start putting them out?
Oh, boy.
When they start moving through?
You know what?
We could check bird. Is it a bird feeder watch? Let me look around.
All right. Sarah will take care of that. She'll check. But, my feeling is if you put it out early, how does that hurt anything? if they're not there yet, they'll get there eventually. And you have to remember, Earl, I've only seen three. I've been living at my place in Logan Square for almost 14 years now. I've seen exactly three hummingbirds the whole time I've been there. So I'm not the person to ask about when hummingbirds are coming through.
Okay. Well, no, I've been fortunate. And like I've told you, I've indicated that I've had babies reared in my yard.
Really? You mean hummingbird babies?
Yeah. Yeah. And now, I have witnesses.
Now, did you just see the birds or did you see the nest or what?
No, I never found a nest. I've never found a nest. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the young fledglings go to the feeder.
Aw.
What a treat.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, so my lawn crew who helps me, they refused to work in underneath one of the feeders because the baby was feeding that day. So, I got witnesses that I have had babies in my yard.
Well, congratulations to you.
Yeah. And, my garden is primarily two purposes. One is I primarily try to feed hummingbirds for me. And two, I try to grow flowers that are smelly for my wife, pretty and smelly. So she can clear... bring them in the home.
Oh, it sounds lovely.
I got a little bit more information for you here, Earl, about tomatoes, okay?
Okay.
As Sarah said, among the things that are good to grow with them are borage. That's because and borage is a beautiful plant. It's lovely blue flowers.
Edible flowers, too. Kind of tastes like cucumbers.
Lovely blue. Lovely plumage. It's pining for the fjords. And asparagus is actually a good neighbor. Isn't that interesting? Although an asparagus, as you know, is a perennial. So you would need a place that you can have that every year. Marigolds are good. They help deter nematodes, harmful nematodes. Nasturtium, Sarah mentioned that before. They deter whitefly and aphids. Basil. With growing with tomatoes increases the vigor and flavor of both crops. Now, we were asking about spinach, lettuce, and arugula. They are also good neighbor crops for tomatoes because they stay fairly small and will grow better in the heat of summer when shaded by the growing tomato plants. One of the things you can do is, and really it's recommended, Dr. Wally recommends you take the lower branches of your tomato plant and you prune them off when the plant gets to a certain size so that it's not making contact with the ground and bringing up potential diseases. So you get air circulation under there. But you could also have spinach and lettuce, which you can plant now, and then you can plant your tomatoes later around them. And spinach and lettuce are much shallower rooted
than tomatoes. And so the tomatoes can still take up the nutrients. Now, here are some plants you should not grow with tomatoes. Brassicas, which are cabbages and that sort of thing in the brassica family. Corn, tomato fruit worm and corn earworm are nearly identical, and in the potential is that you will attract one or both. Do not plant fennel near tomatoes because that inhibits the growth. Do not plant kohlrabi near tomatoes because it inhibits the growth. And do not plant potatoes, you know, because they're in the same family, and they're then they both become more susceptible to potato blight.
Gotcha. So do me a quick favor. I know you don't want to. I know it's about time for your break. Can you give me the website, and then I'll get off the phone, and I'll call you later.
Well, where did you went to Mr. Brown Thumb there? So look up Mr. Brown Thumb online, and he has a bunch of those. I just went to, you know what? I tell you what, Earl. It's going to be easier for me. I went to actually organicgardening.about.com. All right, and I got some of this information, and I find that they're generally pretty good. So if shoot me an email, and I'll just pop the link on for you, and I'll send it back to you.
Once again, give me an email quickly and
Mike,
break.
Mike at MikeNowak.net. MikeNowak.net.
And then Earl, for your for your hummingbirds, there's feederwatch.org, where you can keep track on the spring migrations of birds, and you can enter in your data. Identify your birds.
Okay.
Okay.
And one last thing. You know, this winter, I had ducks in my yard. Because I have feeders out. It's always feeding the ducks. Hello?
We're here. I'm so glad that you had ducks. You know, and that's one of the things you're going to find out in this story when I'm talking to Rick. The ducks along the Great Lakes have taken a hit this year. Because of the cold, they couldn't forage for food, and a number of them starved.
Know.
It's not been a good winter for ducks.
Mm.
So I'm glad you're taking care of our ducks there,
okay, Earl. I had a flock of about 15 of them, so I fed on a regular basis. They're gone
now. Oh, my goodness.
But, well, good for you. All right, Earl, always a pleasure hearing from you, buddy.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Have you ever walked into a produce department and thought, I want something special, something new, and then found yourself walking right past everything you haven't tried before and going straight to the usual suspects, huh? If so, you need to CSA. Oh, sure, you get plenty of beans and lettuce and tomatoes, but you also get some lovely veggies you haven't tried yet. And once they're in your kitchen, you'll start rewarding your taste buds for years of patience. Here are the CSA basics you pay up front to help the farm get their crops in the ground and harvested, and when they're ready for eating, you get your share. And of course, I'm talking about Purple Leaf Farms, CSA. If you sign on with Purple Leaf Farms, you begin receiving weekly shipments in late June or early July. Purple Leaf employs organic methods, no synthetic chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, or synthetic fertilizers. Hey, and Earl, if you're listening, go to that fertilizer you said you bought, not the fish emulsion, because that's good stuff, and you're probably fine with that. But the other one you buy at the box store, I'm kind of interested. Look at the fertilizer in there. Look at the contents. I mean, it's always important to read it, and know what's in there. I mean, I can't tell you enough how important it is to read label directions. And not just read label directions, read content, see what's in there. Now, back to Purple Leaf, you'll receive 6 types of vegetables, 2 types of herbs, and 1 large mixed flower bouquet for every week for 15 weeks. Order a CSA from Purple Leaf Farms today. You will not be disappointed. For more information, go to purpleleaffarms.com or call, write this number down, 312-437-7542.
312-437-7542. I've been in contact with Jessica Rinks, who runs Purple Leaf Farms, and they're about to have their big planting. I believe it's on May 10th. And you can go out there and actually help them throw down seed, which is pretty darn cool. So I hope that some of you might want to take advantage of that. Purple Leaf Farms, 312-437-7542.
Celebrate Earth Month with WCPT in a live on-location broadcast of the Mike Novak Show at the Green Metropolis Fair on Sunday, April 27th at the Irish American Heritage Center on Chicago's North Side. You'll enjoy workshops on organic gardening and sustainable living, yoga classes, activities for kids, great food, and a retail marketplace filled with hundreds of ecological products and services. Admission and parking are free. So what do you think, Mike? Did we cover it all?
Hold on there, Mr. Announcer Dude. You neglected to mention the website, GreenMetropolisFair.com, and my showtime, which is every Sunday from 9 to 11 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, and that during the live remote broadcast, I'll have a number of great guests from the fair to talk about sustainable living and gardening. Other than that, I think you did okay. I'll give you an 8.5 out of 11. I mean 10.
Okay, good. So join us at the fair, and who knows, Mike might even put you on the radio. Learn all about it at GreenMetropolisFair.com. That's GreenMetropolisFair.com.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Good soil and good seed. That's what makes a lawn you can really run your toes through. And while you have to provide the soil, Bonide can supply the best grass seed available. Their DuraTurf grass seed mixes use the best varieties of grass seed for your growing conditions. When you start using Bonide's full sun, sun and shade, or dense shade grass seed mixes, you'll have a lawn that is self-repairing and resistant to disease and grass nasty insects. These grasses will even grow in soil that isn't perfect. Bonide's DuraTurf grass seed mixes are special formulations to meet your lawn's needs. Bonide's Full Sun Mix, for example, combines fine textured blades with durable heat resistance. The Dense Shade Mix is ideal for seeding in spots that only get a few hours of sun each day. So start planting this year's lawn right now. We're getting to that point. I'm going to tell you about it in just a second. You will find Bonide's DuraTurf grass seed at these fine stores: Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, Bertolt's in Elk Grove Village, and Pesci's in Des Plaines. Or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. Now, one of the things that I mentioned earlier that I do want to tell you about is healthcare sites, plant healthcare sites. There's a couple that I have links to on MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show and scroll all the way down to the bottom. And the headline is, "My Favorite Plant Healthcare Sites Are Back." And there's one from the Morton Arboretum. It's called the Plant Healthcare Report. And it comes out, I think it starts out every other week, then it gets to a week. And same thing with Illinois Extension. They start slow, they build into the full-blown growing season, and then sort of taper off. And the links to both of them, you can sign up for both of them, and they end up in my mailbox. And so I read what's there. And I was looking at the second report from Morton Arboretum, the plant healthcare report. And it's kind of interesting because they talk about accumulated growing degree days. And it, when you're growing stuff, as you know, and this spring is a perfect example. And Sarah, I know you would agree that you can't depend on the date. It doesn't matter what the date is. It matters what the heat is. what kind of temperatures we've had. And they've been very cold. So there's a chart that the Morton Arboretum puts out, and they report that as of April 17th, we were at 9.5 base 50 growing degree days. Now, you think that, well, that's 9.5 might be kind of low because in other places like Carbondale has already had 144 base 50 growing degree days.
I have zone envy.
Champaign has had 55. We've had 9.5 at the Morton Arboretum. Oddly enough, Chicago Botanic Garden has had 19. So there, and O'Hare has 35. Kankakee has 40. I don't know why.
That's really surprising.
Why the Morton Arboretum is so low in comparison, but that's what they have. But here's the interesting thing. The historical average, 1937 through 2012, for this date, are you ready for this? Is 4 growing degree days.